You know what's interesting? I'm so glad I didn't go to high school. That seems so toxic to me.
They're making it so difficult to go private, so people are forced to go public and then be forced to be fed that propaganda of what they want.
But then somebody might say, I don't want that social inclination, because all the entire social interaction from the public school setting has traumatized me.
So from the moment you're 18 till you die, you're now stuck in this system paying off your debt.
What's going on, guys, and welcome to this episode of the Mogul Insider Podcast. It's your host, Adam Tatunju, back at you guys again with another episode. And today we are discussing, I think it's a pretty interesting topic, because you got two people here who went through public school. Actually, he traveled across the world and studied abroad. Get off your phone, man. What are you doing?
I'm typing notes for what I want to talk about.
Oh, nice, nice. Yeah. and then Matic, you've also gone through public school with them. For me, I was homeschooled from third grade all the way till college. So, you know, we kind of were sitting down the other day and we're like, I think it would be a really cool topic to dive deeper into the benefits of homeschooling versus public schooling. And if we were to have kids, which none of us do, what would we do for our kids, right? And which pathway do we think is smarter? So I know you've been, I think it'd be interesting to start the podcast by kind of like just spitting out some straight facts. So I know you've been kind of doing a lot of research on just the differences between homeschooling and public schooling. What are some cool like facts that you've kind of learned that you can kind of share with to kick off the conversation and get it going?
For sure. Yeah, let me pull it up. So one of the most interesting facts that I found out was, I always questioned, are people who are homeschooled in a better position, better off in society, better off in the professional world? And according to this one peer-reviewed study, it indicates that 69% of homeschooled students succeed in college and adulthood, which is interesting because it would make sense, because you get more tailored teaching based on you as opposed to going to public school. I'm one of 35, I'm one of 40, I'm one of whatever number it is. And then I'm kind of left off with the general way or the general view of basically of a teacher teaching me. Mm-hmm. It's not individual to me. It may be good for maybe 5 or 6 students out of the 30, but not for the remaining.
Yeah.
So
from that 69%, what is the comparative number to people who went through a public school system?
His research didn't go that deep.
It didn't go that deep, bro.
It went deep, but not that deep.
That was a great follow-up question.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. I was like, I'm curious what the study is about.
Well, you know, you brought up such an interesting point about the whole idea where, in a public school setting, you know, the teacher kind of like has a curriculum in which they follow. There's a style, and it's in a sense one of those things where they have to be as vague as possible to a degree to where everybody is able to absorb from it. But how many times would you say where you've been in a class, and it would be really funny if I've only experienced this, but you've been in a class and like you said, there's like 30 other students in the class, and the teacher will explain something and then she'll be like, oh, is anybody confused? Somebody will ask a question, and then all like collectively the entire class would be like nodding their heads like they all get it, and you would sit there and go, yo, I still am not understanding what she's trying to get at. Like, I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but
you know, that's actually the pace you study at. So I, interestingly enough, like this was a major situation I faced, because I was homeschooled from, like, as I said, from third grade to college. So that when I got into college, it was really interesting, like having to like have a class. I always felt like I was rushing through the lecture. Like there were just, the professor was moving at too fast of a pace for me to understand and really comprehend what's being taught.
Right, because you're typically used to...
I just go on my own pace.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
and like if something doesn't make sense, I'll reread it and once, twice, three times. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to lie, like growing up, I definitely had challenges like studying or like kind of storing information. Like I always felt like, not the dumber kid, but kind of like more so the kid who had to kind of work a little harder to really... get the knowledge that somebody else might do in half the time, right? When it came to tests, everything, I would study harder. I dealt with a lot of anxiety too, like when it came to tests, because at home, You know, I'm like kind of in my own zone. It's comfortable. It feels good. I don't feel like there's this like intense pressure to like keep up with what's around you. Tests, man. I walk into tests. 30 minutes in, that first smart ass guy who like ruins the curve for everybody is walking out and he's done with the test. And I'm just like barely on question 6 out of 40. And I'm like, how on earth? Oh my. And then it's weird because once I see the first person walk out, anxiety starts to kick in. And now all of a sudden, I'm just counting down the time until like my ticking time bomb, right? So I've definitely felt that 100%. I think that's a real thing with a lot of people.
I feel like I used to be that kid who used to have, I guess, test anxiety. But what ended up happening with me is I ended up going through all the tests, reading it through, and then going through all the numbers, all the questions, I mean, that I actually understood and that I could quickly answer. The ones that I don't, quick star, and I'd return to it. That way, I keep the momentum going of, I know this, I know this, I know this, I know this. And then towards the end of it, once maybe I have, say, 4 or 5 questions left, depending on how tough or how, I guess, prepared I am on the subject, I'd then go and I'd give the respective time that's needed to think on these harder questions. So,
see what I did was I did a complete, you know, cocktail of both. I would be like, oh snap, people are finishing the test and now I'm getting anxiety. So then I would just be like, all right, what's the potential appropriate answer that I can think of as I'm reading through the answers? And then I would just boom, 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 boom through the test. And I'll tell myself, all right, give it a quick round and then look through it a second time and actually think about the questions through. And then, okay, does this answer make sense? Do I need to change it? Blah, 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 blah. And then by the time I go through that first quick round, I'd be like, yo, I'm taking too long. And I never go through it a second time.
It's funny. BB likes everything in his life, even tests.
No, but tests were actually a very tough thing for me to adapt to and still are. Mm-hmm. It's weird. Like in college, I would like be teaching other. All right, sweet. So basically, what was I saying? You know, little technical difficulties as we were filming, guys. But test anxiety is a real thing. It's a legitimate cause. And I thought I was stupid my whole life growing up. I was like, man, like, am I doing something wrong here? Like, I would teach other students in my class about the concepts, and they would go off and take what I taught them and get an A on the test, but then I'd get like a C or a D or an F. You know, I think my GPA, if I look at my, it's so bad. But then again, I've also come to realize that like I'm more on the physical sense. Like I like to be very physical with things. Like I like to like feel it, touch it. Like chemistry lab, I did really well all the time. Any sort of like more physical activities where you're actually building something, I always excelled in. So it's interesting. You just kind of have to find what you do good in. And that's what I struggled in, by the way, transitioning from homeschooling to this, you know, educational system that we have now. Because in homeschool, everything was kind of customizably designed based off of how I learn, right? So like they would put you through certain exams and tests and see how you learn. And then they would create, at least the program I was going to, they would create curriculums around like things that they thought based off of your test scores made sense for you and your learning mechanisms and capabilities, mm-hmm. which I thought was super cool. So there's a lot of adjusted factors to help me learn. For example, like instead of having like super long tests, we would have very consistent quizzes, right? Because of my test anxiety. So like they would try to keep tests at a certain number of questions, right? And then like, you know, randomly quiz you, pop quiz you to see if you're like up to date with what's going on. So that's just one little example on like mm-hmm. little shifts that they would customize based off of what they thought would best fit you. When I got into college, I didn't have that. I had to conform to whatever, like however they run it. And that was very, very tough for me. It's till today, it's weird. Like I still, you know, in class, like I'll understand it, I'll learn it, I can go implement it. But test me on it, like an actual official test, it would seem like I don't know anything about the topic.
I got a question. So when you were talking about how eventually it's more tailored to you being homeschooled,
yeah.
and then you would transition to say college and to other places, and then you'd have this anxiety. Would that then, I guess the question comes in as, do you feel like homeschooled, you're in more of a comfort zone? Where in public schools, it takes you out of that comfort zone and it forces you to adapt as opposed to maybe depend, maybe might vary per person, but that adaptation stage for maybe a person that goes through homeschooling is not as quick. Person doesn't adapt as quick because they're completely out of their environment. So when they're put in a new environment, they're like, what the heck do I do? I'm not really used to this. So I guess,
that's a deep question. I like that.
I mean,
I like that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, like, I know that's an interesting perspective, but I never saw it as it was hindering my adaptability skills. It was just more like, this is just how I study, and it just works.
Yeah, no, that
you
is
know
a,
what I mean?
It's a very interesting question, but it's...
That is, but I've never thought of it like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
conceptually, I think you have to go on, like, you have to go to, like, different factors and then go deep into these different factors. Because the fact of the matter is people who have only been in the public school system, they still might struggle to adapt to that faster-paced learning, the all-in-one dump on a test performance, you know, examination. So it's like even people, like I said, who have been through the system, they still struggle to adapt, myself included, you know? So it's a very, very good question, but I think there might be an element missing that we need to find later.
You know what's interesting is, like, I spent many years trying to figure this out because I would excel in life things. So, like, in college, I was also student body president. Mm-hmm. Managing hundreds of students, and I was crushing it. We were doing really well. A lot of fun stuff, right? And I would go, like, this is so weird. Like, I would rather sit 8 to 10 hours a day working in this job that I'm not even paid for. Because to me, like, structure, operations, systems, team management, leadership, all the so entertaining. And I would kill it. But then take me to my Chem 1A class. This is my third time taking it, and I still don't get it. You know what I mean? And so it was like... I think it was also like a reality check of like who I truly am and what my strengths and weaknesses are, mm-hmm. right? And yes, there could be the argument is like, oh, work on your weaknesses and develop. But honestly, I think there's certain things in your life where no, you don't do that. Like you don't work on your weaknesses.
Unless you need them
unless for like survival. Something. Yeah.
But if it's not a trait or a skill that's natural to you, you go hire somebody to do it for you.
That, you know, and so that's actually why I dropped out. You know, it was one of those. Mm-hmm. But it's funny because a lot of people hear that and they go, oh, this guy, quote unquote, is not educated. Mm-hmm. I dropped out and I've probably taken more courses ever since I dropped out till today than I did my duration of my entire life in school. And I could, like a book, tell you everything I've learned. And that's because what I've come to learn about how I study and learn is teach me something and allow me to go apply it in real life. Let me see it come to life. And then let me see it, like, even if it's like a math formula, let me see where it's utilized in a real life case study. And I realize that if I teach myself that way, I'm able to somehow find a full circle understanding of, okay, I see where it's being implemented and why it's being used, and I get the point, right? And so when I started a business, I took a marketing course. I spent like 6 months in it, 12 months in it. But as I was learning every single day, I would go to my company and I would apply those strategies and I'd be like, oh, I get that. And then if I had questions, I would go to the instructor or quote unquote, the coach that I hired, right? Or my, you know, the person that was helping me out. I'd be like, hey, you know, hey coach, just got a quick question on this. What do you think of this? And now I'd like to think I'm probably an expert in what I do, right? So I think that's where the college or just the educational system lacks is that adaptability, because I truly believe, I don't think everybody learns differently. I think if we were to like group them, it would be like probably maybe 5 or 6 groups of different, of like the entire world that fit into it, of different ways of learning. Some people are more visual, some people are more physical, some people are more like auditory, some people like to actually have experiences in life, like go get internships, things like that. I've always talked about this, and not to go ramble on and on and on, but I've thought of it because this was like a huge thing for me. And I got into school, I was like, there's so much improvement that could be done here. And I do want to ask you guys a question of like, if you were to change the schooling system, what would you do, right? Because I think it's such an interesting question to reflect on. My ideology on that is I think like middle school, high school, preschool, elementary, that's fundamental to help you learn like life skills, like building relationships or becoming friends with somebody or learning to talk to strangers or, you know, whether it's, you know, critical thinking or just those basic skills in life, that's, I understand that. It's like kind of like the K through 12 thing. And then I think high school should be the part where they start to ask you and allow you to experiment. Hear me out on this. Imagine somebody, like, before you start school, they survey you and they tell you, what are your top five passions in life? Oh, I like this, I like this, I like this. And them being experts, they would connect those passions into a quote-unquote career for you. And then they would start to put you into customized classes around those specific things, but also give you real life experience, right? And so now you know, now you spend the 4 years figuring out whether or not you like that certain thing. And if you don't, that's totally fine. Drop out and go start something else. And by the time you get to college, you're 100% set on the idea that this is what you like, and you go and you dive more into like the specialty of it. I think if it becomes like that, it would be super cool. I see you hella smiling. Do you agree or disagree?
You know what's funny?
What?
In college, I took a semester of German.
Yeah.
All right, to learn the language. In that class, you don't only learn the language, you learn the culture. So we also learned about the schooling system. So I'm smiling this whole time because your ideal situation for schooling matches how the Germans do it.
Oh, really?
Ever since you're young, it's crazy. No, it's crazy. No, seriously, hear me out. Ever since you're young, based on your performance on the tests, eventually they start grouping you into certain groups. You got the A group, you got people who are more analytical, people who are more hands-on, people who are maybe not as up to, you know, the mindset or mind skill.
Did you just call, is this the group of stupid people? It's a very PC.
But hear me out. Eventually, those people are put into groups.
Yeah.
And then other people are able to then reach their potential on becoming lawyers, on engineers, doctors, where the other people are going more towards trade, becoming construction, you know, workers and more like plumbing and et cetera, et cetera. So it's interesting because as you're going through that, that's exactly what the German schooling system does.
Hmm.
They see the potential of everyone from a young age. They give you a little bit more chances, and then from there, like, all right, cool. You are able to go to college. You go to a trade school. You go here, you go there. So it's very interesting. So we should definitely look up a little bit more about it. But
yeah, I'll do
yeah, and I just realized now, we're literally halfway through this entire conversation. And our only experience is one of the worst schooling systems on the globe, the United States. Yeah. It's like we should have done a little bit more research about what are the top rated school systems, like countries with the school systems.
And how do they do it?
What is their structure like? Because right before you said that, I was literally thinking, I was like, that'd be a really cool idea. And then you started spitting it out. I was just like, that is a phenomenal idea.
Yeah.
Because one of the biggest issues that they always talk about that when it comes down to the school system is there's this element of individuality, right? You're taking your own test, right? This is your grade in your class. And so what ends up happening is when, you know, you do this pretty much for X amount of years in your life, 24, 26 years of your life, and then you get into a corporate workplace and they're like, you need to know how to work with the team. Dude, my whole life I've been hiding my papers so nobody copies my answers. You know what I'm saying? And so in a system like that, that you kind of just drew out, it would be perfect because you could create this team of like-minded people, and whatever that subject is, because you're all grouped together, similar brains thinking of one idea, imagine how much you can achieve.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You don't just achieve what the teacher's looking for. Now you have a potential high school class making a new discovery.
Yeah.
Because 100%. You have all these young minds. They're still young enough to be creative. They're still young enough to be impulsive, right? They have enough confidence to just do or say what they want. What can they create?
Yeah.
How epic could that be?
Yeah, but in America too, we don't want to create a mob mentality. We tried, the most simple thing, right, is the whole concept of divide and conquer.
Mm.
So we don't want the whole concept of...
Those are the engineers, those are the scientists, those are the doctors. Yeah, we don't talk to them. Like, you're talking about like that kind of vibe?
In a way, yes. Uh-huh. But then also too, it's more like when groups assemble, eventually they become more powerful,
you
right?
Know,
there's power in numbers.
Right.
Right? People who are united typically fight for a cause or for whatever they put their mind to, they're going to go farther than one individual. You can see, you could go off the business analogy, which is the most relevant to all of us. You can go ahead and push your business.
So what's the concern?
I guess the concern from the American perspective is we push individuality and we honor individuality, being that lone cowboy, being that person that you're just by yourself. Now, I'm not for it. I'm just letting you know what I personally have, I guess, seen throughout, you know, the American culture of, there's not really much of like a collectivistic, because we're living in a, you know, of course, an individualistic society. Mm-hmm. Collectivism is kind of frowned upon because collectivism then is deemed to the negative connotation of dependency, where then you're like, well, you depend on that person, you're not man enough. You have to depend on the other person. You don't have your own opinion. So I'm kind of going a little bit more like on a tangent, but do you guys kind of get where I'm getting at?
I 100% get what you're saying, and I see potentially where that could develop an issue, but let me ask you a personal question. In your social circle, do you like to surround yourself with people who are like-minded?
Of course.
Yeah, so we naturally do that as humans.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then we've talked about this so many times, especially as we get older, that circle of friends narrows down and more and more and more and more. Why? Because there's just certain people you're just like they don't help me think bigger. They don't help me with my creative space. And then you narrow it down to a group of people who, like, you guys know you have, not necessarily in the same subject or in the same business, but at least the same mindset to where you help each other grow. And that's kind of like the idea where I see that structure being successful.
I mean, keep in mind, so like, let's look at the facts, right? So if you were running a government, you have two powers within you that can kill you, your own people and the media, right? Mm-hmm. Like, those are two powers that if you don't have as allies, will take you down, period. So that's your, like, your number one thing is, how do I make sure to control the media, and how do I make sure that the people follow what I want? Like, let's just, real stuff here. If we're all leading a group, this is how we think. Even at the smaller area of, like, running your own company, how can I get my employees to follow what I want? Like, this, we do this naturally every single day, right? And which makes me laugh, because for people to think that, like, people in the government aren't corrupt, it's just, that's a whole other conversation. But it's hilarious because it's like, you guys are corrupt in your day-to-day lives without even realizing. How do you anticipate guys who are, like, super powerful? But anyway, so there was, like, a saying, like, in World Wars, when they would attack, like, a camp or a base, the first thing they would go for is, like, the media team or the radio stations or whatever it is, because that would corrupt everybody else to revolt against the government. And so I think the schooling system is set up in a way, I think there's, like, a couple factors to it. Number one, it's set up in a way where it just works for those that are in power.
To the favor of the higher-ups.
To the favor of the higher-ups. It just works. Two, it's a scam when it comes to, like, financially. So, like, if you look at the rise in how much it costs to go to a private school or to go to a university, like, 10 years ago versus today, versus the incomes that are actually going up, or like, it's not relevant. It's not on the same level. You're spending a lot more than you're making, and people keep doing it. And then also, that's like another theory that I was, like, told about this a while ago, which is the American dream. They sell you the American dream. What's the American dream? You graduate, get a degree, get a job, and buy a house. So if they allow you to stay dependent on the system from the moment you graduate, you're now on the road to applying to the American dream, which is good for who? Who's giving out loans for these houses? Banks, right? So it all comes back to what? The Federal Reserve. And so, like, if you really, like, it's a business. It's a business. And until the customers stop shopping, they're not going to change the business model.
You know, it's interesting what you said, because think about it. You talked about how, like, private school has gone super expensive. Usually with private schools, they teach, for example, I grew up in an Islamic school. they teach basically your life, your viewpoints, morals. I learned a lot of my morality from my religion, which is Islam, right? Which, when it comes down to certain topics, which are hot topics nowadays, it may not go with it, right? With what the government, what the higher ups, I guess, if you want to say, which they're trying to push. So what are they trying to do? Their thing is, all right, cool. You want to preach that? We're not going to fund you. As a government, we're not going to back up your school. We're not going to accreditate you. We're not going to fund you. Which means that they need to find basic means. Yeah,
they always have like political angles.
But besides that, what I'm trying to get to is like they're making it so difficult to go private.
Sure.
So people are forced to go public and then be forced to be fed that propaganda of what they want.
Yeah, but like it's all like, if you look at the history of how school was set up, you got the Rockefellers and the old white people that ran this entire country, right? And they had a ton of businesses. They needed a ton of workers. This is common knowledge. If you watch any TikTok or anything, you'd know this stuff.
Yeah, let's just hope like 2 days after this episode comes out, you don't go missing.
Oh,
yeah.
No. It's common knowledge. Like it says, like you look this up, you'll find it. And so they wanted to, like, it's funny because they're not even hiding about it. Like they'll tell you straight to your face, this is why we're doing it. And everyone's just like, okay, like, you know. So it's like it's like who's to blame, the government or you? Like, anyway, but.
But hold on, with this whole idea that you brought up, because it made a lot of sense and it clicked really well, how basically there was like, there's a process, and then at the end of the process, or like when you reverse the process, it somehow connects back to the Federal Reserve, right?
Well, because think about
it. I like how you mapped that out.
But think about it, like the way you want to look at it is like, if you're running a business, you have your package of services mm-hmm. and solutions, right? As a government, that's what it is. What's the package of services for the customer? Right, it's okay, go to school, get debt, owe us a lot of money, go to job, work to barely pay
but
off
without
this.
Without a degree you can't get a job.
Without a degree you can't get a job.
And without a job you can't get a home.
Exactly.
Right.
Now, but then 100%. When you go try to get a home, they tell you, hey, you know what, we'll give you 10% or 5% or some crazy, like, some, usually it's 20% for the down payment, but you've had crazy markets where they make it so easy to step in. That's so dangerous. Like the people are like, they're just giving out money, here, take it, and then they loan it. Dude, it's crazy. Can a 17, 18-year-old go get a Ferrari unless they have money? Like, a bank's not going to loan them for that. But then, like, you apply for UCI and you ask for $250,000 loan, guaranteed, here you go, approved immediately on the spot.
Right.
And the interest rates are ridiculously high. Mm-hmm. So from the moment you're 18 till you die, you're now stuck in this system paying off your debt. And that's the end goal, period. Like, for them, it's literally, as long as they cycle people through that.
And that's thousands, hundreds of thousands of students every single semester.
Dude, it's a big business.
You think of one individual and it overwhelms you, but then you think of literally hundreds of thousands of students every single semester.
Yeah.
All across the states.
If not more.
For sure.
Way more.
Yeah,
It's probably in the millions.
No, definitely,
yeah,
actually.
It's in the millions,
definitely.
Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands in California alone, dude.
Yeah. It's a big business.
And so now
the question is, to bring it all back, homeschooling versus public school.
Well, before we bring it back to that, sorry. With this whole idea that you brought up, because there's only one reason why I wanted to bring that back up. When it comes down to the conversation we just finished of like the individuality versus a group effort, would you say that what you said is supporting of which side?
For what exactly?
Like, doing things in a group structure rather than everything being me as an individual. I'm running my own races. I'm fighting my own battles.
Which one do you think is better? Is that what you're asking me?
Sure, we can question it. We can phrase it that way.
No, because I'm just trying to like kind of.
Actually, yeah, 100%. Which one do you think is better?
Well, I mean, that's dependent on like case by case, right? So just depends on like what you're studying, what you're doing. I'm just trying to process what you said. I don't know if that was a question.
Yeah, because. We started with the whole, like, you know, school structure where people are separated into how they learn and how they are.
Yep.
And then I was talking about how, like, you know, basically the regular school system teaches this individuality aspect, right, where you're literally on your own and there's, like, no idea of partnerships, even though we know the most successful businesses in the world are nothing but partnerships, right? So between those two, right, the two teaching styles, and connecting it to this idea of the American dream and how it makes you individually stuck. It makes millions of people individually stuck into this idea where they literally just have to you know, pay off these debts for the rest of their life, what do you think kind of is a better teaching method?
A teaching method? Well, the thing is, like, so we could talk about better teaching methods all day, mm-hmm. but I think the real problem is, like, I don't think they're, like, the government's interested in creating that better teaching method.
Oh, dude, you really trying to go missing, huh?
Huh? No, I mean, this is reality, man. Like, it's real. It's real life. I don't mind speaking about real life. And to think about it, though, the way we change the inner schooling systems is we put it at risk. We're the consumer. Us. Individuals here. We're the customers buying. If customers stop buying a business's products, the business gets forced to adapt to the market. Right? Period. So it really just starts at, like, and I love it. That's why I'm so big on, like, entrepreneurship, on, like, really seeking your own kind of, I love, like, so that's why social media, I also think the government's also trying to really work on. There's a lot of reasons why social media is a risk for the government, but that's one big reason, is because now it's offering education at a level that it was super accessible to you that it wasn't before. So now somebody can just go type something up and learn something like that, not having to really go to class or mm-hmm. rely on a degree or anything like that. And now you're getting people like me, or, you know, us over here. I don't know if you guys graduated or not, but like, you got people like me who are kind of just like, okay, I'll just go figure it out on my own. Right? You finished. You did graduate, right?
We both finished. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Cool. What was your degree?
Communications, baby.
Nice, nice. And then you were kinesiology, right? Yeah.
Exercise science.
Yeah. Exercise science. So I think if I were to give my opinion, though, it's what we discussed of how it should be set up. Mm-hmm. I think every human being has so much potential, and to just, you know, it's so stupid how it's set up. Either you follow their way, or you're marked as unable to, like, you're marked as, like, you know,
incompetent
and stupid,
right?
You know, by society. You know, like, for example, I had this problem where I had these test anxieties, and then on campus they had a disabled student program that if you applied, they approved anybody, they would give you, like, a separate area to take the test.
For a longer period of time.
Yeah. Never applied. You know why? Because it was literally called disabled student program. I was like, I'm not disabled. Like, you know, like, I just have a certain way, goddammit. And so it's weird. It's like this, like, and that's another thing, like the pressure of society. It's like, if you don't conform to how they want you, you're labeled as, like, ADD, ADHD.
Yeah. Something wrong with you.
Something's wrong with you. Exactly.
Yeah,
you're defected.
Yeah.
This is, like, real life for me, because you got to think about that.
Think about the whole defect process. So imagine, like, you have a conveyor belt, or you have some sort of manufacturing plant that's going on, right? You're producing all these things, all the things that are ready to ship and go on to the consumers, and now those are deemed, you're good.
Yeah.
You're programmable, you're programmed, everything is good, right? You're ready to become basically a slave to society. The person in this case that has, like, wait, hold up, how about this? You're defected.
Yeah.
You have ADHD.
Take you from the assembly line straight to the trash.
Yeah, but...
No, that's the reality
of it,
man.
Think about it. Look. It's basic communication. You have two things. You got the in-group and you got the out-group. In society, from, I don't care if you're in from Tunisia to, like, Asia to America, doesn't matter where you're from. For the most part, we all want to be part of an in-group. We all want to be part of some sort of group. We rarely ever want to be part of the out-group, the outcasts, because those are the people who get shunned. Mm-hmm. So think about it in that perspective. If you're part of the out-group, if you, in a sense, you have an opinion about something, then you are automatically criticized. Like, automatically. But these are not criticized. It's not like criticism where it's like, it's constructive. No, this is like complete, flat-out, just horrible, horrible things, mm-hmm. accusations, and they're trying to
trigger your self-esteem.
No, they're just trying to stomp you.
Mm-hmm.
You right? They're right. Really just trying to demonize you. And you get what I'm trying to get?
Yeah, totally.
So
it's an odd thing, man. But, like, there's a lot. I think, like, just like anything we talk about on the podcast, we can sit for hours and discuss it, right? I think it comes down to, like, if we were to really bring it down, bring the topic back of, like, homeschooling or public school, what's better, what's worse? I think it depends on your goals and what you believe in as a family and what your values are as a family, mm-hmm. you know, and what you want for your kids. If that fits the public schooling system, then cool, then put them through. What I disagree with is, and I'm seeing a difference in the way people are thinking now, which is cool. But most of the world believed that if you don't go through this system, there is no other way to succeed. And that's where I block that. I go, hold up, let's relax for a second and let's dissect what you just said. If for thousands of years, the world survived without this system, which, by the way, it's very new. It's not that old if you compare it to the history of things, right? You know, people figured it out. People had money. People made things happen. And now all of a sudden you want to create an argument saying that for whatever reason, if I don't go through this system, I'm not going to succeed. Well, see, that's where the brainwashing is. You have to recognize that that's exactly what the government wants you to think, right? And that's where the, it's interesting because I was listening about this recently. It talked about like the government thinks in generations. They don't, or like when they apply something now, they're not thinking of like 5 or 10 years. They're not thinking of like 5 or 10 years. They're thinking like 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100, 200. You know what I'm saying? And so they're thinking generationally and they've succeeded.
Yeah, they have,
you know,
time.
They have time. They have all the time in the world, man. You know, like I'm pretty sure if we traveled back to the early days when schooling first became the thing, it probably a lot of, I can imagine conversations with dads being like, I'm not sending my son off to college or to school. He has to work in the farm. I could totally imagine like that conversation being a reality not less than like 200 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now it's flipped. Oh no, my son has to go to college because if he doesn't, he's not going to succeed. There's certain degrees where you do. I get it, right? Like, and even that, there's an argument where you could probably specialize. Like cybersecurity, I'm in cybersecurity. You can like, you don't have to go to school at all. You could just take certifications online and learn and become skilled and get a really high paying job from it and be set for life.
And then learn the rest from your job.
And learn the rest from your job like all of us do, like real life, you know? So, and I think that's cool, like seeing these specialties pop up. But like if you're trying to become a doctor, a lawyer, these very key like STEM majors, STEM. I get it. Like that makes sense. Like there's a certain method. But even that, there's an argument to be said about like, should we be more specialized? Should doctors really go through certain things, or should we focus more on, you know, certain areas for their skill development early on so that they're able to graduate sooner and so that we can create more workforces, like we can push more people out. Right. So there's even that argument where like undergrad is kind of like, I don't know, man, like I don't see how certain classes that they put you or force you to take makes any sense.
Right.
Like for any degree.
One thing I do want to bring back, though, that none of us have really touched on at all. Public schooling is free. Homeschooling, correct me if I'm wrong, is not.
No, it is.
It is?
Yeah, it's free.
But hold up.
I had no idea.
Your average, same here. I'm learning something.
Is free, depending on the program. There's different types of programs.
I'm learning something.
There's probably a more advanced.
But with homeschooling, who's your teacher? Is it your parents? Or if not, if you enroll to some sort of a program, now do you have to pay for that teacher?
No. So the way it worked, I was with a program, you would basically enroll. You would pay for the books, supplies, and that's it, really. And then every course had a professor, just like online professor. My mom would help teach me while I do homework, and if I wanted to go over certain things and I didn't understand certain things, yeah, you'd have like a tutor, basically, at home. Or depending on how the family wants it structured, could be the mother, could be the father, could be a tutor, could be whoever, right? But you do have an online instructor that grades your stuff, communicates with you, proctors the tests, makes sure that it's a legitimate setup. There's real programs out there that are like seriously well structured. Now, where it gets expensive, if you decide as a parent that you want to create your own curriculum, that's, I think Elon Musk attempted to do that. I wonder where he's at with that. But like for his kids,
he can afford it.
I know he can afford it, duh. But like he did something that I thought was really, really interesting, right? He came and he was like, you know what? I don't believe in this whole schooling system. I'm going to create my own. You know, put a bunch of rich kids together and just, you know, have them pay fund the program. And he can do it with the power he has. But that, like, that goes to show you that it's like even him at his level is thinking like, hey, this needs to be changed, you know, because it's not the way the world's going to move anymore.
What I'm trying to get to is public schooling is free.
Yeah, it is.
Homeschooling / even private schooling. I know we haven't really touched too much on private schooling, right?
Yeah.
But like specialized education is not free.
Well, so
public schooling is
the specialized education that I just mentioned to you is a very rare thing.
But how about homeschooling? You still need to, like, as opposed to, like, say public schooling.
Yeah.
Both parents in America, your average person, right, or your average family, for the most part, both parents work, right? I feel like the majority of Americans, obviously with like Arabs or maybe some sort of cultures, right, who are able to provide, like the husband or the wife is able to provide for, you know, for the kids and everyone else, many Americans can't afford.
Well, it's the same way. So just like you have private school and public school in the real world, you have public school and private school in the homeschool world. It's the same thing. So you can go to a public homeschool that's funded by the government, that you're just in charge of supplies and the basic stuff. Or you can go to a more...
Supplies like what?
I know
like
what matters.
Like that books. You buy, yeah.
But how about parents where you go to public school, the books
are free?
There's
programs. There's programs. If you can't financially afford it, they give you financial aid. There's programs for it. It's a legitimate, it's government backed.
Yeah, I understand what Maddox was trying to get at. I think it just kind of derailed his whole point because we had no idea that private school, sorry, we had no idea that homeschooling was,
yeah,
they
yeah,
had
no,
free
it's,
programs.
There's not a lot of education around it, but there's free programs.
Because yeah.
There's not many people that we've came across in our life.
Definitely not.
That have ever gone through homeschooling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, would you say, because I always figured, for whatever reason, that just because you're homeschooled, a person is homeschooled, I should say, if you were to bring that person and then a person that's gone through public school or is currently in public school, that the person through public school was a little bit more socially aware or more socially better off than the person that's homeschooled?
So, very good question. And I would say the answer is yes in certain situations. When I got into college, I felt like I was relearning social constructs, like whether it's how do you speak to women, whether it's, you know, developing real relationships and friendships outside of just, you know, your class, whether it's certain dynamics when you're having to, you know, be physically there and position yourself as a leader or not, or listen. There's just certain social dynamics that you get thrown into that, yes, I did struggle with and I had to learn on my own. And it, there is an argument that, yeah, sure, mentally I was, you know, keep in mind though, I was 15 when I entered college. So I was very young. So everybody around me was like twice my age almost, you know? And so it was like this, like, okay, cool. Like the youngest friend I had there, I think was like 20. So I was like, okay, so there's an age gap there that's going on. And so I was also dealing with the fact that I was still kind of developing as a human being. So to like really answer it direct, yes, but the... It's like the pros and cons. But in return, what did I gain? Right? And I think I gained something that's very valuable. I gained a very deep understanding of who I am as an individual and what works for me and what doesn't. And I think that self-discovery that homeschooling forces you to go through is invaluable compared to anything else.
Nice. I also think it really depends on a person's perspective. Because a lot of people will take, you know, the public school experience as it revolves, especially around like the social aspect, and they associate it 100% with trauma. So then the question, so you might have the argument saying, all right, somebody who's been through the public school system, they're more socially inclined, let's just put it that way. But then somebody might say, I don't want that social inclination, because the entire social interaction from the public school setting has traumatized me. It's made me either hate myself, develop insecurities I did not need in my life. It's killed my self-esteem. You know what I mean? So it's like, it depends on a person's perspective, and it also depends on a person's strength of unity within the family unit. Because I remember you explaining, you know, certain experiences that you had. You didn't open up too deep about them, but like certain experiences you had where like when something was bothering you, you know, your mom would always kind of like comfort you in a way to where she would be like, well, is that who you are? And so you'd ask yourself that question, and then it would give you confidence immediately because you had that open dialogue with your parents. You know what I'm saying? Now, if you talk about somebody who's in a public school system, right, and they have trauma at home, so now whatever trauma is happening at school, they take it home and they can't even resolve it at home, that entire social interaction is detrimental for their future. It's gonna absolutely produce criminals.
But you look, you took it to the extreme.
I'm just saying perspective. But so I gave you one extreme, but then the other extreme is absolutely, like you said, you know, when you are able to have the perspective of going through those social interactions from a public school setting, and you're able to develop from it and observe, and you can say, okay, this happened, that was a little bit embarrassing, next time I can do this, next time I can say that, next time I can be funny, right? We are the type of people who can develop something like that. Not everybody's like that.
You know what's interesting? I'm so glad I didn't go to high school. That seems so toxic to me. Always, as like an environment, and I don't know, I'm pretty sure a lot of people might think high school
Why? Is
like the best times in life. I don't know. It just gives me, I don't want to say,
See, how can you make a claim if you don't know?
Yeah, I don't want to say I don't know because it sounds empty. No, you're right. No.
Honestly, you could just watch two or three TV shows. You could absolutely be 100% correct about what you said.
Well, I think,
I'm happy. I just want to put it out there. I'm happy I went through high school.
I'm sure there's like so many people who might disagree with me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, again, perspective. It's just
because.
But once again, it's how a person develops.
Yeah.
You having that self-reflection because you're in this, you know, this personal setting because you're homeschooled, you being able to have this self-reflection and learn about yourself and develop that way, that must have worked for you. For us to be thrown into the cages with the other animals, that was perfect for us to develop and learn more about ourselves.
But we were thrown into it, right? That was actually really good.
Yeah.
Word to use. Just because BB and I, we went to a private school, mm-hmm. all the way up until like eighth grade. Ninth grade happened, I was thrown into, you know, high school. Right? I want to say thrown in there because that's pretty dramatic. Mm-hmm. But I enrolled in a public high school that
was
like
down the street.
5 minutes away from my house.
Yeah, you had no choice.
Where everyone in our private school went to a public school that was roughly about 30 minutes uh-huh. away. We didn't want to do that. So we both went to two different high schools because we live, you know, in different cities. But I did not know anyone in my high school. So going from an environment of seeing only Muslims, only hijabis who are covered up modestly, men who are for the most part praying, or boys, you know, because, you know, in eighth grade, to like going to high school and then seeing girls with like spaghetti strap bras and like just all this other like super revealing or like, you know, high schoolers.
The nails, the hair,
besides
the makeup.
That, I don't know, but like high schoolers just making out where you're like, I'm like, oh my God, like what is this? Oh,
that's
like.
That's a trip.
That was the biggest, that was one
that's
of the biggest
trips. Trip. The first time you literally just go, what?
You're like, what the heck?
You're like, yo. Like,
yeah, it's like, dude, it's only third period.
Like, dude, there's people here.
Yeah, no, for real. Dude, chill. But, like, you're able to then see. I feel like it really tested my Islamic identity. Right?
Sure.
So it put me
yeah.
to constant, like, I don't know anyone here.
Yeah.
The majority of people over here are not Muslim. I was comforted. I was grown up. I was sheltered in a way around Muslims. Now I am around non-Muslim people, mm-hmm. where non-Muslim people are the majority. Where non-Muslim people are the majority. Mm-hmm. I need to then force myself to try to adapt myself in a non-Muslim society.
Yeah.
And guess what? We don't live in a Muslim-dominant society, meaning a country. We live in America. So I feel like in high school, it really taught me to then adapt myself to today's society. So that way, if I'm ever at the gym, if I'm ever pumping gas, if I ever have any sort of like interaction with a person, I'm able to then, I'm better fit for it, right? I'm just not, I'm not thrown off by it.
Right. Because you've experienced it so much that like, you're not having that brand new experience like when you first walked into high school.
You're cool with the non-Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
You could conversate with the Muslims. You get what I'm trying to say?
I do.
Cultural adaptation.
Yeah.
Cultural adaptation.
True. No, and I get it. Like, it's interesting because I've been on the thought process the past couple weeks about how like your life is really like you know, if you want to talk about like color and destiny and all that stuff, it's really written out because like you are playing it and you have the freedom of will in the day to day, you know, decisions that you make. But, you know, if you reflect on your entire life, you go, wow, like my challenges allowed me to become the version I am of who I am. And they were adapted perfectly for who I am as a person. Like my challenges are completely different than yours and yours and vice versa for everybody else. So like, cause your philosophy of public school, high school is my philosophy of chaos. Cause in my head, I'm just like, I've always been able to control my environment. And yes, again, everything I'm about to say, there's an argument against it.
Cause you've never gone through it. That's one of the arguments.
Well, yeah, I know. I've never gone through it. But then I also, again, I go back to this a lot. I don't care for it. Like I have never in my life thought, oh man, I missed out. Not a single time. Like it's not even a thought. Like I don't even, like people have to consciously bring up, hey bro, like do you ever thought about going back to college? Or do you ever worry you missed out in high school? And I'm just like, what? What's that? Like, I'm like, oh no, not really. Don't care. Like, cause I look at it as I had a lot more time to work on my career. And you know, I say this very humbly, at the age that I'm at, I'm way ahead of a lot of my peers, way ahead, you know? And so it's like, there's an argument to it on like perspectives, you know, like which, what do you prefer? And so I think to bring it all back, I think it's so important if you're a parent, you know, I hate to like advise this cause I'm not a parent, but if you're a parent and you have kids or like, this is what I would do is I would personally sit down and I would go, hey, like, what are my values as a family? What do I want my kids to turn out? And like, what are the things they like? And what environment makes best sense for them when you make that logical decision? Because schooling is the way it is, and it's going to take a while to change. It is changing. Education has changed a lot. And I know you were discussing COVID. A lot of people started studying from home. And so this whole online thing became a lot more, you know, like popular strategy to like utilize and deploy. And so I think, look, there's benefits to public school from like a social engineering aspect. Like you learn a lot of things, you learn a lot early on. And yes, that does set you up for future real life scenarios and it puts you in a good situation. I agree. I totally agree with you on that because that is something being at home, you naturally are gonna lack. You have to consciously put yourself in those situations, right? And that comes down to the parent, right? As a parent, like as a kid, you're not going to think of these things. But as a parent, if you're putting your kid through homeschool, I would highly recommend put them through a sport. Put them, if you have a boy, put them through something physical, you know, like something that's more hardcore. Like my dad put me through taekwondo and karate and stuff like that. And I remember as a kid, I was like, why am I doing this? Like, this is so stupid. But now I look back and I'm like, oh, okay. There was things that I was being taught to deal with that I lacked in homeschooling that they gave me in other areas to fill up that tank, right? And I think my parents did a really good job on just cultivating the person, the kid that they wanted. You know, I'm a big reflection. Obviously, we all are. But I think, like, if I were to look at my parents and the way they structured things, it was very, like, purposely done. My mom sacrificed 15 years of her life just to, like, mentor me. You know, this is, like, shout out to you, Mom, if you're watching this. Like, she literally dropped everything.
She ain't.
No, I'm serious. Like she dropped everything. I'm in forever in debt for her, but she dropped everything and didn't have a job or anything like that. And she had like an online business but to like cover some bills for her, but all she did was focus on tutoring me. A lot of parents, nobody does that. They go get a tutor for their kids, they put them into like
student systems. I would be traumatized if my mom or my parents homeschooled me.
Really?
If they were the teacher.
Yeah.
Dude.
Wasn't the best experience style, with my dude. Dad. It wasn't the best with my dad. It was terrible.
I can't even imagine my dad.
That was terrible.
Are you stupid or idiot? Since we were kids, that's one of his lines. Are you stupid or idiot?
I hated it, man, because like my mom had like an extreme way to teach. So like many times I had like questions for math. And she'd be like, here's the equation, here's how to do it, and I'd still mess up. And then she's like, this plus this equals that.
Yeah.
This, and I'm like, I can't do this. And out of nowhere, I'm just blah.
Smack. I don't know if I want to like publicly say certain things, but like, you know, just know people that are watching, I have amazing parents. They love me to death. I was mm-hmm. never abused in any way. But my mom taught me English and communication and writing. That was what she focused on. My dad focused on teaching me math and science. And guess what? In college, math and science, I failed. And communication and writing, I excelled in. Because my mom was really good at like making sure to really teach me. My dad would sit with a big ruler, you know, like this, like literally this big. And he would pull up the multiplication tables, for example. If I get one wrong, or like something like that, he starts yelling at me and smacks me, bro. Like, open your hand up. Bam! And I was like, by the end of that like exam, man, I think I love my dad to death, but I think my test anxiety came from those situations.
Yeah.
Because he would sit with me and he'd be like testing me with a ruler bigger than my friggin' body. And I'd be like, yeah, totally. I remember everything. Like, I'm like terrified to sit with him. And it's hilarious because it showed up in college. Like, I had to like go through counseling and therapy to figure this out. Because mm-hmm. I'd be like, why am I excelling? Like, in English, man, dude, I would get like 120% in the class. Like, it's ridiculous. I took the most complicated communication highest.
That high.
Huh? It's just. What?
It goes up that high?
And you could go like, in my writing one class, I got 120% in it.
Okay, bro, you definitely went to homeschooling, bro.
No, this was
participation points.
This was in college. Like, he had that's like crazy. Extra
curricular. Extra credit. Yeah, extra credit.
Basically, I aced everything. Yeah. And he had a couple extra credit assignments that I did, and I aced that too.
Yeah.
Right? That was my highest like record in a class. But I took communication classes, did really well. I took all sorts of like, you know, as you guys can tell, what we do here for literally
ain't that crazy? Podcasts. Applicable real world classes that teaches you about everything, about society, about how to communicate properly.
Yeah.
Where it's applicable so you can then click a little bit faster than here's a theory about this.
Yeah, but we were talking about parenting. I really think though it comes down to that. Because until today, when I take any sort of test around like chemistry or bio, for whatever reason, like some sort of STEM, I freak out. But like when it comes to like communication tests, or like even now in real life, when I take any sort of like different types of like technical, you know, classes, I do much better in. And so to answer your question in a long form, like, yeah, you know, being tutored by your parents is it's a hit or miss. You know?
Oh, it's a hit for sure.
It's a hit or miss.
If you miss, you're going to get hit.
Yeah. It's been an interesting conversation to have, I think.
Yeah.
Like,
dude, definitely very stimulating. Yeah. I like how we like...
You're stimulated right now?
Mentally. But
I think he's going to re-enroll back in school now. He's
like, yeah,
I got to go back to high school.
Hell right? No. There's no way.
Yeah.
So like we went from homeschool versus public schooling to the government and like society and the higher ups to then our parents and
actually,
so, man.
No, overall, this was just a great conversation to have.
It was a great talk, but there's a couple points I wanted to kind of mention, because I know we kind of like touched upon it before, but the whole concept of creating this environment for your child, right? What are your thoughts on that in terms of like where somebody, I guess going back to like, you know, someone giving advice, I guess you could say, when it comes down to having the desire to create an environment that you want your children to be in. Expand on that a little bit.
I guess shaping their world.
I think it's very important.
Mm-hmm.
I think as a parent, you have key roles. It's obviously teaching your values, your main core values, the things that like, if you were to die today, like what's something you need to pass on for sure? Legacy, mm-hmm. you know, religion, those kind of things, right? I think that's like super important, number one. But then also number two, you obviously as a parent know what's right from wrong. Your kid doesn't, mm-hmm. right? And this is the problem with society today, actually. It's like giving the kid the option to make certain decisions at such a young age, I think to me is ridiculous, mm-hmm. right? But yes, you do have the responsibility as a parent to control the kid's environment so that they turn out what you believe to be the right thing is. And for every parent, that's different, right? But I think it's very important. I think if you fail at that as a parent, your kid's gonna, you know, be out of control, because it's just you're just gonna lose them, and then having to reel them back mm-hmm. later down the road, it's gonna be so hard. My mom mm-hmm. always used to tell me growing up, she used to always, religion. Even till today, I call her, first thing she talks about, religion, how's your dean, how's everything? And it's funny because like as a kid, I've had moments where I'm like, oh, mom, like, come on, like, just, like, be more chill. Like, why is it always religion with you? Why can't we just, like, have a normal conversation? But I've learned that, like, when I go through life now, because it's so deep in my core, I may sway away sometimes, make mistakes, do certain things. But, like, when it really comes down to it and, like, I'm, like, let's say terrified in a very vulnerable spot, I go back to my default settings, which is the things that were instilled in me by her and by my dad, right? And so if they didn't do a good job at that, when I do face and suffer issues, I'm going to be lost. And then that's where, like, depression kicks in. And then that's where, like, suicidal thoughts can kick in, you know? Not that I've ever done that, but that's a reality for certain people, right? So
you've never done suicide?
No, I've never thought of committing suicide. I was talking about the thought. Yeah, so basically, I think it's super important to definitely construct the environment for your kid.
I 100% agree.
Yeah.
I know you expanded on it. You talked about it a little bit last time where you were explaining this. It was like a parenting style.
Yeah, yeah. There's different types of parenting styles, yes.
The parenting style, which, you know, you kind of like...
Authoritative.
Yeah, a little bit
like
authoritative.
Like authoritarian, like, parenting.
And yeah, where you, like, create this environment for them and they can roam freely within that environment,
yep.
But they can't exit its walls, per se. Uh-huh. And I think it's really, really important. And at the end of the day, you know, we talk about, you know, the success rates and all the statistics of, like, you know, homeschooling versus public schooling. But really, really, at the end of the day, it does come down to, you know, a person just not being in denial, a person wanting better for themselves.
Yeah.
And among those things, and kind of talking about the whole environment setup, is in life, when you decide not to choose an indoctrination to follow, the reality is an indoctrination will choose you. And that's where it becomes really scary. Because whether it's, you know, going through a public school system or just being, you know, a stray cat lost on your own, whatever, for some reason, that's just how your life is. The indoctrination that chooses you is, quote unquote, society, mm-hmm. right? And all of the potentially negative things that come with it.
Yeah.
You know, and so as Muslims, this is something that we have to be confident in. Understanding the indoctrination we choose, because allowing something to take a hold of us and steer our direction of life will only lead to failure and disaster.
Yeah, this has been a real cool talk.
Yeah.
I see
yeah.
the guys putting up lighting because the sun's going down, so we're going to wrap it up. Appreciate you guys for being super proactive, by the way, behind the scenes. And a freaking awesome shout out to you guys.
Oh, he's just carrying it.
Yeah, he's just carrying the light, man. You know, dedication is key. But I appreciate you all for, again, this has been really awesome. I think we'll continue the conversation more. But thank you guys so much for watching. You know, just remember, like always, if you just leave a like, comment down below what your thoughts are on the episode. And then just give us, like, your feedback or, like, any specific topics that you want us to talk about. I think it's so important because it allows us to build a community and build dialogue with everybody that's watching. We're still experimenting and learning as we grow. We're going to get some cool guests on too in the near future, so stay tuned for all of that. But, and remember, subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. You don't subscribe, it doesn't motivate us to continue pushing, and that's not good. You know, we gotta feel like we have a party.
It doesn't motivate him.
Really?
Yeah, I'm still down to do
you
this.
You sure? Yeah, okay.
I'm still down to do this.
No, I love making these videos, but I think it's also cool to see, like, a community grow from it, so... But without further ado, I'll see you guys in the next episode. Peace.
Peace.